See everyone this Sabbath morning. I know the weather is a little bit hot here and there, but guess what? It's cool in here. And God is still blessing. And I'd like to thank Pastor Elson for those who have the bulletin. Extra, God's news. Extra, God is news. I wonder how many people who like good news. I'm sure everyone does like a good news. How about the desperate news? I'm not going to say bad news because really no one likes what? Bad news. So my message today, before I even say the title, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you again. We invite you to be throughout this service. May your face be seen, your glory. Amen. Whatever we say up here, may that be your word. Bless this message. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Day of Good News. That's the title of my message this morning. The Day of Good News. You know, everyone is always waiting for news from somewhere. If you ask somebody in Ukraine, they'll tell you, if we can only wait, finish the war, so we can have peace. Somebody, if I can only have something to eat. Someone will say, if I can only pay my rent. So everybody is looking for good news. Now, do you have any good news today? Are you expecting any good news soon? Who are you expecting to bring the good news to you today? Thank you. And I pray, Brother Danny, I can bring the good news. I have a little story over here I want to share with you. There was, anybody have been in Haiti? Port-au-Prince, you have heard about that city.
You heard about it, yes.
Those who are from, I don't want to say third world countries, but Africa and the other area and so forth, maybe Asia and so forth, you know how the traffic is. Sometimes the traffic, it becomes so bad until you are almost facing one side. And these two drivers at Port-au-Prince, they came, one decided to go the other direction. So they met. Another car came behind, another on the other side. And there was a traffic jam. And no one will back up. Somebody say, you back up. The other one says, you back up. Then the traffic got worse and worse and worse. Then one man on the back said, but the Bible said, the first shall be last. And the last shall be what? So the man on the back yelled in Creole, the language they speak there. Back up, back up. And another said, today is a good day. The traffic back up and people continued. Just a small thing. If you look at the scripture reading, my sister read over here, Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Don't be discouraged. I don't know what you're going through. But if you ask your neighbor, they'll tell you things are tough. And here on this verse, Moses have just died. Now Joshua was to take over. And God tells him, don't be what? Don't be discouraged. So my fellow church member, what you are going through today, outside, don't give up. Hold on. Hold on, because the day is coming where everything is going to be okay. Those over in the teleconference and over here at the sanctuary, 2 Kings, verse 7, 1 to 19. That's why my message will be based today for the first part of it. 2 Kings 7, verse 1 to 19. Now, there was a big famine. I'm going to try my very best to speak very clear English. You know, I speak Kiswahili. So along the way there, you can just pray for me so you can understand. There was a big famine in Samaria. Now, this famine was not caused because of the sun or because it did not rain. No. It was caused by a siege. The Armenian Syrians surrounded the city of Samaria. No one could go in or out. People had fear. Now, maybe when I say famine, it looks so lightly. And I don't want to make you scared. But when, you know, those old days, the city, they used to have walls around it for protection. And when they tell there's an army outside, wanted to come in, you get scared, you have fear, you have worries. So at Samaria, it was under siege. You know, those who been listening to the news, I believe in Odessa, they were bombed, the place where almost 60,000 tons of grain destroyed. Over in Africa and other area, we depend on that grain for bread. So Samaria was under siege. Now, to make it clear so you can understand what I'm talking about, it was so bad to a point that the king came outside walking around the market. And he was wearing sackcloth and ashes. That's what they used to do in the old days when something is so desperate. Now, he had two ladies arguing. She said, you know what? We just killed my baby for food. Now it's your turn. And now you're refusing to give up what? Your baby. You think you got problems? Now you understand what I'm talking about. And as the king was walking toward the gate, he just happened to lean to the guard who was the guard of the gate to Samaria. And the king said, where is Elisha? Somebody called Elisha, the man of God. This is too much. Elisha came, and the king was leaning to the man at the gate, the guard. Let me read Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says about this time. Tomorrow, a seher of flour will sell for a shekel, and a 2 seher for a barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, those who follow money, the currency in Israel is called shekel, like how you said a dollar. And now, they are using the new shekel. The man of God said, tomorrow, about this time, the flour of barley, which was being sold for almost, I say for today's price, maybe $1,000, it will be almost 1 cent. This is the grain of barley. I put it out there for those who like to see it. It's just a grain, you know. And then they'll grind it and make it what? To a flour. But the man at the gate, the one the king was leaning on, say this. The officer in whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this really happen? Even if God will open what? The floodgate of what? Of head of the window. Could this really happen? You know, I don't know. Sometimes I can say that, man, because when you come and you realize that to a point where people actually scared until they're killing each other for food, things have gotten very bad. He had doubt. Can this really happen? But guess who is doubting? The man of God. There was four men who had leprous, you know that disease, you know, you get your skin, you know, those old days, if you're a leper, you are outcast. I don't know if people remember during the HIV. Because we experience firsthand in our family. When your relative is brought there, they can't even walk. You wonder, even the spoon, even the glass, you have to be extra what? Careful. These 4 men have lepers. They've been kicked out of Samaria. They're outside the gate. In Samaria, is under siege. You know, these four lepers, they said, you know what? We're going to go to the Armenians, the Assyrians. Because if we stay here, we'll die. If we go there, there's Armenians. So they're trying to figure out, what step can I take? What step will you take? The 4 lepers at the gate of Samaria say to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and you will die. And if we stay here, we'll die. So let us go over to the camp of the Armenians and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we'll die. The leper, knowing their terrible situation, considered four things. As I said, if we stay, we die. If we go to the city, we'll die. The Syrians are our enemy, but they have plenty of what? Plenty of food. You know what they did? The four lepers decided they're going to go to the Syrians. They start walking. On the way there, that's when God comes in. When your situation is blocked, when you have nowhere else to turn. You know, there are some situations, my wife is here, I can't even tell her because things are so bad. How do you tell your family, you know what, today I don't even have the money to buy a bread? They decided to walk. God did a miracle. As they are walking, four of them. Can you hear me? This is only one person. This is a leper. As they were walking, the sound of their feet created a sound. It was multiplied by God. The Armenians in the camp, guess what? They had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of soldiers running toward them. They said, wait a minute, something just happened in Samaria. Maybe the Egyptians are helping them. They started collecting and start running. Four lepers decided they're going to go. When they got to the camp, amazing, the whole camp was empty. The Assyrian left everything and they ran. Then they went to one tent. If it was you, you get to a tent, you have not eaten maybe for a couple weeks. There was nobody, food everywhere. They ate, drank, slept, and be happy. They went to the, actually, the Bible said, they took gold and they went hid it. Came back to another tent. They went and hide, come and get, until they could not collect anymore. On the process, someone said, one of the four, this is not good. Today is a good day. Today is a good news. How can you keep quiet? How can you keep quiet about your salvation? How can you keep quiet from your neighbors? They say, no, today is the day of good news. We cannot sit here and just keep quiet. Maybe something is going to happen. So they decided to go back to the gate in Samaria. Remember, you are outcast. You are a leper, you know. Things are bad. Probably they couldn't even walk, but they were so full they couldn't even run. When they got to the, when they arrived to the gate in Samaria, guess who they found at the gate? The guard. He says, "What are you doing here? You are sick. Stay out. Don't come close." They said, "But we have a good news. The Assyrians are gone. Please, if you can let us in, go and tell the king." They went and tell the king, and the king said, maybe it's a trick. How could that happen? The king said, okay, let's send some few people and go and look what's going on. Guess what happened when they came back? They came back with food. When the king saw that, the excitement, everybody received the news into the city. And they were ready to go. As they were rushing outside the gate, the excitement just kicking in. Remember, you haven't eaten maybe a month. You can't wait. Eric? There's somebody? Then, people, they were so excited. Everybody rushed at the gate. And guess who was standing at the gate? The guard. They stamped on him, walked over him, until he died. Remember what the man of God said. Tomorrow, you will see, but you will not eat. The price came down to 1 cent. And that's the God we serve.
Amen.
You see, whatever you are going through, hang on. The good news is coming. But when you get the good news, can you really keep quiet? You got to show someone else. God is calling us to do what? To work at his farm. So we can be able to see what? To see the kingdom. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Luke 17, verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, increase what? Our faith. Psalm 98, verse 1 to 2. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his whole arm have worked a salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. Desperate news. Remember, I asked earlier, how many people are desperate for the news? Desperate news. I call it the family affair. Those on the teleconference, you can read 2 Samuel verse 14 to 25. Absalom was the third son of David, king of Israel, with Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. I think Brother James, last week, he spoke about the news. He spoke a little bit about what happened to this message. And I'm going to just continue a little bit. The meaning of Absalom, father of what? Father of peace. Now, 2 Samuel verse 14:25 says, in all Israel, there was not a man so highly praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the top of his head to the sole of his foot, there was no blemish in him. Whenever he cut the hair of his head, he used to cut his hair. Weight was 200 shekels by the royal standard. This is about 3 pounds of hair. Absalom. Now, young people, don't sleep. Okay? I got news for you. Absalom was young. Absalom was handsome and good looking. Absalom had an amazing hair. Absalom, he only got a haircut once a year. Today, we say that he had a swag. Young people, are you there? He only cut his hair once
a year.
Like mine. 3 pounds. He was handsome. As the Bible said, Absalom had a great future ahead of him. But something terrible happened. We all know the story of what happened to his sister and his other brother. Absalom decided to take the hand on what? He decided to take the matter on his own hand. He said, if King David cannot take care of that young man, I'll do it. So the young man Amnon was killed. Absalom, now his head was big. He decided, now I'm going to also go after King David, his father. Desperate news. David sent troops under Joab to find Absalom. A soldier saw Absalom head caught in the oak tree because he had a long hair. But the soldier refused to kill the king's son. Then Joab took 3 javelins and killed Absalom. In another word, as he was running on the horse, his hair was so long, it caught on the oak tree. Can you imagine? What kind of hair is that? And he was hanging. But he was still alive. The soldier saw him and he said, no. How can a king kill the king's son? Joab, the general, went and do what? And killed him. Brought him down and everything. Now, who is going to take the news to King David? Because the news have to go where? To the king. Desperate news. You know, sometimes when you are so desperate on something, you can't even sit down. You hope that that news will be what? It's been good news. That's why I'm saying that without Christ, how could you just relax? The news, you are always worried. Ah, what's going to happen now? If I can only, you know, this week, somebody won, I think it was $1 billion, I think, on lottery, something like that. You can just imagine how crazy he just went, or he or she. But before that, he was also desperate for what? For news. Hope is me. Joab said to Hamaz was the son of Zadok. Hamaz said, let me run and take the news to the king that the Lord had delivered him from the hands of the enemies. Joab replied, you are not the one to take the news today. You may take another time, but you must not do so today, because the king's son is what? Is dead. Hamas said, no, I have to go. You know, this Hamas guy is very interesting. He was the one who always took the news what? To the king. And Joab asked him, but you don't understand. How can you take the news and the king's son is dead? There is no reward. But he insisted, I must do what? I must run. So Joab said, no, you cannot run. This time, let the Cushite do what? The running. The Cushite left. Start running. Hamas insisted. Eventually, Joab said, go ahead and do what? Go ahead and run. Now, 2 people are running to take the news to David. What news are you expecting today? Good news. But David, he's also expecting a good news. But he's confused. The two young men ran. The Cushite left first as he was running. But Hamas was so desperate, he took another shortcut and he outran the Cushite men all that to the king. On the way there, the men on the tower looked and he told King David, "I see a man running." King David said, "He brought a good news." That is a good news. And then after a while, he went to the tower and said, "King, I see also another man running again." The king said, "He's also bringing what? A good news." As they came closer and closer and closer, Hamas made their first. He was so tired and excited and he said, "You know what?" The king asked him one question. "How is my son Absalom?" He remained quiet. Because now it's not about winning the war. It's about my son. He told him, "Stay aside." The Cushite men came. And they asked him, "How is the war?" King David said, "Don't ask about the war. Tell me, how is the young man Absalom?" The Cushite said, "Anything who have raised arm against the king, may he have the same fate as the young man." David, the news he was expecting, it wasn't the news. So this morning, what I'm saying is, today the day of good news. The good news only comes from God.
Amen.
Men will tell you wherever, but it's going to only take you just a little further. But the news of the kingdom is 100%. You know, Job says, "I see God with my own what? Eyes. Not somebody else. With my own eyes." The leper decided, "We're not going to keep quiet. We got to share what? The news." And that's what I asked this morning. What news do you have to share with somebody else? What you have learned so far? What God has brought you so far? Do you have anything to share with anybody? David was expecting, never mind about the war, only if my son was what? Alive. But that was not so. And at the beginning of this, I asked, what are you expecting? Right now, I hate to say this, but just last night, about our family, were discussing about this AI. Artificial intelligence. Somebody calling you and is actually your mom, but is a machine. What are you expecting? My prayer this morning is, don't leave God. That's our only hope.
Amen.
Nowhere else. Because the news you're expecting, maybe it's going to just last a little bit. But the news which I'm speaking about this morning is the news that will carry you all the way to heaven. Good news of the ages is recorded in Mark 16, verse 6 to 8. This is John Mark. "The angel said, 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. Do you have any good news for the church members? The angel said, I like to put this always, breaking news. Breaking news, CNN. He's not on the grave, he's alive. He's alive and he's in heaven. That's the God we serve. Great news. Before I finish, I'd like to share a little message. I promised my family last night that I have a good news for them and everybody else here at the church. I received a call on Thursday from Africa, in the highlands of Kilimanjaro, in a little town called Chong, which is our village. A young lady called me, said, I've been trying to call you, but you're not picking up the phone. I have news for you. So I'm asking, okay, what kind of a news is that? Her name is Zilipa. I'm sure somebody's smiling there. This young lady, she works in to our hotel back there. We have a hotel at the village there. And that hotel hosts a lot of our pastors when they come for camp meetings and so forth. And she works there. She told me, she asked my father, who is late Pastor Kisaka, who have worked for the church for over 40 years before he passed away. And he said, I asked your dad, how come he's not preaching to me, he's preaching to everybody else? She's a Lutheran. And she said, I said, what did he say? He says, he told me that you read the Bible and you know the Bible. It's your decision. So she asked me, but it's amazing, even you guys you haven't asked me to be baptized or anything like that. Then it happened. She was in this crusade. And something touched her heart. Zilipa, she's going to be baptized as a Seventh Adventist this coming September. Amen. Those who remember her, Zilipa have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. It's not like the church she was going to wasn't a church, but she said, now I have found the truth. Amen. And the truth is preached at the Adventist church. So this morning, I pray to God that you're going to remember Zilpa in your prayers, because she's going to need your help as she pick her new faith in our church and going on forward. The leper took the good news. David was desperate for a good news. Today, which news are you going to share with somebody else? And God is waiting for you, because it is the day of a good news. Amen. May God bless everyone, and thank you so much. At this moment, I'm going to ask their Brother Jet and Sagamboa if you can come up here and help us. And we're going to stand up and sing closing song, hymnal number 462.